Man of God, arise as a PPK, a priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family, and the king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join us as pastor and coach Gerald Benton encourages, leads, and teaches men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a PPK.
Good morning. Thank you for coming on and joining me with, once again, the turnaround. As you can see, the title, From Life to Death, Back to Life. This was a good one for me this morning, because God was kind of talking to me about some the process and the change and the things that were happening going as I was going through this process of life, death, and back to life. It was really, really different, because God gave me, he gave me the story of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, in John 11, the whole chapter. If you can just read, you know, John 11 literally just read the chapter, and you will get a good understanding of what God was saying to me, and how he was saying this to me. Cause it was deep. I mean, it was like really, really deep. And he was like, Gerald, you wasn't always like this. You wasn't always a bad person. You wasn't always, doing the things that you were doing. I allowed the enemy to get in, you know, he literally came in and he altered my path. He altered my life. He altered everything, because when the enemy comes in, you got to understand, he comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not coming to just to have fun or be your friend. The ultimate goal is to kill you. The ultimate goal is to truly take you out the game. And so allowing him in gave him opportunity to actually try, kill off everything that I was doing. And so if you're ever in a place where you just feel like, you know, death, you know, everything is dying, you know, your marriage is dying, your finances is dying, you know, your spirit is dying. You just feel like everything is death. But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. I had life, and I thought I was living a life, but I wasn't living the life that God wanted me to live. And so I went through this process of, because I allowed the enemy in, and he was killing me slowly. And I wasn't really paying attention to it. It's things that he had, you know, placed into my mind and into my heart that was literally to destroy me, to destroy my mind, to destroy my heart, and ultimately to destroy me, period, that I wouldn't be where I am today. And so if you're in this place and you just feel like, you know, before you had life, me and my wife's marriage, it didn't start out bad. I came in lying, but it didn't start out bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, because of my actions, because of what I did, you know, I allowed the enemy in. And let me tell you, when he comes in, you know, he starts choking out things. He choked out our communication. You know, he choked out our intimacy. He choked out our friendship. And then ultimately we choked out everything else, and everything just started dying, literally just started dying. And I was it was a bad place, because now our finances are dying. Our friendship, everything about us was just literally dying, but it wasn't always that way. And so I went through this process of just, you know, living life, and then all of a sudden will allow the enemy in. And what he does first is he really kills your communication. So if you was ever in this place where you was good, and all of a sudden now you don't, your communication is gone. Y'all don't talk. You don't communicate. You're not in sync and in tune, and you're not with each other. And all of a sudden now, it's a separation aspect of it, because the enemy has creeped in and now he's trying to kill it. And so there's a spirit that tries to break the covenant. The enemy is always trying to break covenant. And so he tries to strangle your communication, and he strangles your friendship. He strangles your love. And before you know it, you end up hating each other. And now you don't even want to be around each other. I'm just telling you something that happened in my marriage. I didn't like my wife. I hated my wife but understand now, this was my high school sweetheart. This was the one that I thought was the one that saved my life. This is the one that I couldn't do without. This is how it started out. This is the one that, she couldn't do no wrong. And all of a sudden, because I had already had to allow the enemy in me. He was already operating in me. He was operating in me through my habits, through my drugs, through my past, my past experiences was already hindering me from being who God wanted me to be. And so I allowed him in. And so during that time, he just started slowly breaking up the communication, putting in the spirit of offense, putting in, rejection, putting in abandonment, putting in all of those things that slowly chokes your friendship. And once you lose friendship, once you lose the love of a person, and you don't even want to be around them. You don't care about them. And then you start moving on, because now that thing has got into your heart. And now you having once again, we're dealing with the heart, things that get into the heart, things that kill that kills the marriage, that kills the relationship. I'm talking about even kills the relationship with you and God. It strangles it. No longer are you praying. No longer are you fasting. No longer are you reading the word. No longer are you going to church. Now you're just in a place of loneliness. Now you're in a place that you feel like I'm just separate. And that's the way the enemy wants you. This is why I'm just telling you what was happening to me. It's just, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to hear the word. The word almost literally made me sick. It was like the enemy had me just that far, that if I read the word or wanted to be around the word, it just made me sick. And so I just wanted to separate myself. And my wife was like living the word. She was the word. And that was really making me sick. It was like I didn't want to be around her. And so it killed our relationship. It killed our intimacy. It was killing. So the enemy is so strategic. He places things in your bloodline. He places things in your mind and put seeds in your mind. He puts these things that will cause you to slowly, if you ain't paying attention to, because the enemy is so slick, he will slowly kill you. And so I was reading this. I want you to go and read Lazarus. I'm like, okay. I mean, I've heard the story of Lazarus. I heard the story that Mary and Martha and all, and how what Jesus did. I know the story. I read the story. But God said, I want you to go back in and look at it now out of this perspective. I was like, okay, life to death, back to life. I was like, well, okay. Okay, I got you. So I'm reading the story, and it says that Lazarus was sick. So at one time, Lazarus was alive, but then he got sick. So there was a process of getting sick. Gerald, you was once alive, but you allowed the enemy in and he got you sick. And you got you sick and you couldn't even help yourself. Then all of a sudden, help came, his sister. His sisters were praying for him. His sisters were there for him. The sisters sent out for somebody to go and get Jesus, because they knew Jesus was somewhere around that he can get there. But see, Jesus had a plan. He had a plan. They didn't even understand the plan. They didn't even know the plan. But God always has a plan. And you don't even know the plan. You just know where you are, what you doing, and how you doing it. And you know that if you believe that God, what God says he would do, he would do. So they were just believing that they knew what Jesus was able to do, because, I don't know if it was Mary or Martha. One of them was the one that, washed Jesus' feet with her hair. So she understood who he was. her heart, if I call on Jesus, Jesus can heal this thing. Jesus can do something. So she sent out for Jesus to come and heal her brother. So I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, God, I got you. So you had my wife to pray. She didn't know what she was praying for. She just knew that you asked her to do something and that she was going to be obedient and she had to do it because she's watching me go from life to death. I'm talking about life to death. And it was a bad place. It was a bad process of going from life to death because you see something that is so prosperous. You see something that is so good. And then all of a sudden it just goes to pure hell. It goes to no conversation. It goes to no communication. How did I get? And you sit there and you look like, how did I get from there to here? And if you sit there long enough and you open your mind, you allow God to show you, he can see where the enemy has creeped in and he tried to kill your relationship. He tried to kill not only your relationship, but he's trying to kill your relationship with God, because then you'll start complaining to God. Then you'll start being aggravated with God. I'm just telling you, man, I'm like, God, how long I got to be here? How long I got to do this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be any of this stuff. But God, I'm dying. And my wife used to say, she literally, she said it. She was like, babe, you're dying. You're about to die. And I just remembered that. I'm like, she did say that. And then I got to church. My apostle said it. He said, can I talk to you? He said, I had a dream that you was dying. I'm like, man, you and my wife need to stop doing it. Man, she just said that, man. Here it goes. Out of the mouth of two or three, things are established. I knew that scripture. That scripture came to my mind when he said that, but I was so far blind and so far gone that I was just like, man, whatever. I blew it off. Man, don't come at me with that. That don't even faze me. I'm stuck in where I am. I'm in this process of dying. I'm going from life to death. I'm talking about the process of dying, like dying. And so I was in this process for a very, very, very long, long time. You understand that? A long time. So this was a long process. In that story with Martha, Jesus was only 3 days away. He was only a couple of days away. He waited. He literally waited. He waited. And so here it goes. How long do you think you have to wait? I was like, how long do I have to sit in this place of death? How long is it that it's going to take for me to get to this place? I'm like, wow, I'm dying. I knew I was dying. I knew I was dying. You think I cared about dying? Because here's the enemy had planted all these seeds. He had already told me he already put the spirit of suicide in me. So I was already walking with suicide. I was already walking with death. Death was just knocking at the door, waiting on the opportune time to go ahead and get me. Opportune time. He was just waiting on it. So I was going from life to death, and it was a slow process. I watched everything die. I was watching everything die. I was watching my life die. I was watching my marriage die. I was watching my finances die. I was watching my relationship with my kids die. I was watching my career die. I was watching everything die. And when I say when the enemy wants to kill you, he's going to kill everything. He ain't going to just kill one thing. He going to kill everything. Everything. So if you got your eye, and what he'll do is he'll blind you. You don't even see stuff dying. You don't even see it dying. You think that, oh, this is my relationship. No, you're wondering why you're living in lack. You're living in not enough. You're living for paycheck to paycheck. That's that plan. The enemy's trying to get you frustrated. He's trying to even take your money. He's trying to take your money. He's trying to take your joy. He's trying to take your happiness. He's trying to take all of that, because what he's trying to do is actually kill you. What he's trying to do is actually get you to the spirit, in the spirit of death, that now you're thinking about death. You don't want to, nobody loves you. Nobody want to be around you. I can't have this. I can't have my marriage. I can't have my life. I can't have my job. I can't have all of these. I can't haves. And you're walking in the spirit of death. And so God, I was like, okay, God, I got you. I got you. I'm looking at mine. And this is this morning. He just had me looking at it. I'm like, wow, seriously, God, is that how this is literally, is this how this is going? He's like, this is how it was going. This is how, this is what the enemy was trying to do. And so I was like, okay, God, I got it. This is this morning. Y'all, this is fresh because God just gave me this probably maybe an hour ago while I was driving. And I was like, God, I'm holding on to the steering wheel. Like, oh my God, are you serious right now? Yes, I'm very serious. And so he went to talking to me about this process, and I'm going through this process, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, my wife was doing is that the enemy wanted to kill her relationship with God, but she was so disciplined and so, you know, just obedient that she was willing to do whatever she had to do. If God said it, she was going to believe it. And all it needs, listen to me. All it needs is belief. If you believe, let me tell you, if you can believe what God is saying, your faith go to a whole nother level. You'll have faith that what God says is true. What God says he will do, he will do. What the enemy tries to do is get you not to believe that what God said he would do, then you wouldn't have faith in it. Man, y'all better catch that one. First, you got to have some belief. You got to believe in something. You got to believe that God, what God said he'll do, he'll do. And then you have to actually put your faith to what you believing in. And then you believing that your marriage is going to live, that your marriage is going to survive, that your finances are going to come forth. Listen to me. This is what is happening. The enemy is trying to make you not believe. If he can put doubt in your head, if he can put that in your head, then that means your faith level won't. So now you got to check your belief. You got to check, do you really believe? Do you believe what the word says? Do you believe that you can be healed? Do you believe that the blind will be able to see? Do you believe in miracles, signs, and wonders? Do you believe in what God said, what he promised you? Do you believe that? Because I believe it. I believe it now. I wasn't believing it then. I didn't even believe that I can come out of what I was. I didn't believe that I can stop smoking. I didn't believe that I can break addictions. I didn't believe that I can come out of the pornography. I didn't believe that. And I know at some point in time, my wife didn't believe it. But then as she started praying and she started being obedient and she started doing what God says do, then God started giving us some manifestations of her prayers and what her prayers was looking like. And then all of a sudden, now she can believe. Now she has her faith. She's mixing her faith with her belief. And now, because she's disciplined, the enemy couldn't even mess with her. He was trying to attack her through me because he couldn't even mess with her because she was just so obedient. She was just like literally lining up with God. She was like literally becoming a living epistle. She was like literally taking on that I am in the image and likeness of Christ. I am joint heirs with Christ. And she was like living that thing. And I was looking at her like hating it. Like, how in the world are you so close to God? I used to say she had the heartbeat of God. Like the heartbeat. When God's hearts beat, her heart beats. When I say that she hears and she sees, I mean, like now it's like the Matrix. She just totally have just in a whole nother place. When the Bible says that be in this world, but not of this world, she is that. I mean, we both are now, but then she was that. She was like living that. It was like, I think spiritually, I don't think naturally. Naturally, I understand natural stuff, but I'm really understanding the spiritual aspect of the things. I understand what I'm fighting. I understand what I gotta do because I'm a spirit being. I'm living in a fleshly body, but I'm all spirit. I'm like, wow. Wow. Catch that one. Catch that one. Because once you get your belief mixed with your faith, it's going to a whole nother place. It's a whole nother thinking. You don't think out of the natural. You're not thinking a natural thinking. You're not thinking the way you normally think. Now you're thinking, it's like my desires are God's desires. God's desires are my desires. God's will is my will. What God sees, I see. What God says, I hear. Anything else outside of that, it don't even matter because people will put stuff in your ears that is planting a seed of doubt. Oh, your marriage is, girl, you might well leave him. That boy, that man, he's so out there. He out there with this other person. He, man, listen, God is the God that specializes in the impossible. God is the God that does miracle signs and wonders. You don't even understand what God can do because you can't even think of that. So you looking at, I'm looking at Mary and I'm looking at Martha and I'm thinking that, Martha found out that Jesus was close. Man, she took off. She took off because she knew. She knew he had the ability to raise the dead. She knew that he had the ability to bring him back to life. She knew it. She knew it. Then Mary got up. Mary came and the people ran with her. Let me tell you something. See, when God does the things, he has to have, it's that he gonna get all the glory. And so when all those people came, them same doubters, those same people that used to say, it ain't gonna happen, your marriage is dead, it ain't gonna never live, and then all of a sudden stuff started happening. So Mary jumped up and ran, and then those people that were sitting there mourning with her, the crying with her, they ran too. They wanted to see why Mary was running. They thought she was running to the tomb so they can mourn and do whatever with her. No. God had a whole nother plan. Jesus came up on the scene and started speaking. He told Martha and Mary, he said, do you believe? Do you believe? Listen, that's what he asked them. Do you believe? And they said, yes. And then he talked to Lazarus and told Lazarus to come out of the tomb. Man, listen here, y'all. Listen, we're talking about a dead man. The man was dead. The man was laid down and wrapped up. You know, in the old days, they used to wrap him up. They wrap him up and put him in a tomb. So that means they dead. That means they like dead. It's dead. You hear what I'm saying? Dead. Y'all know the resurrection. Y'all know how Jesus was. He was wrapped up. That's how Lazarus was wrapped up. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, come forth. He came forth, bound. And they said, now take the stuff off of him so the man can live. They had, y'all better hear what I'm saying. So here's open your mouth and speak to the dead thing. So if it's three things that got to happen. One, you got to have some belief. Two, you got to have some faith. And three, you got to open your mouth. And your words got to line up with your belief and your faith. Y'all catch that one? Belief, faith, and open your mouth. My wife, let me tell you, here go the process. Because my wife, this is what she did. Even though I wasn't doing it, this is what she did. She had to have some belief. She had to have some faith. And then she had to speak who I was. It was a process. She had to believe what God said. Who I was and who she was. She had to have faith that what God showed her was going to come alive. And then she had to open her mouth and actually say what God said I was. And she had to write it down. She wrote down who I was. She put scriptures with it. And she started saying, and guess what? Because she was obedient and she didn't doubt it. Because she was obedient and she trusted God's word. And because she was obedient, look what happened. Let him go. Pornography, let him go. Death, let him go. Alcohol, let him go. Lying spirit, let him go. Poverty, let him go. Fear, let him go. She started speaking these things. I wasn't there when she was doing it, but she was speaking it. Then all of a sudden, I come forth. I come out of all of the bondages that was wrapped around my feet, off, around my thigh, around my knees, off, around my hips, off, around my chest, off, around my shoulders, off, around my face, off, around my head, off. Listen, these things that had me bound are now, they're loose because she had to speak this thing. Now the process of going, it's just not that what God wants you to be alive. But here's the situation, what he said to us. It was like, I don't just want you to live again. I don't want you to just have life, but I want you to have it more abundantly. This is how good God is. This is how good God is. He don't want you to just have life, but he wants you to have it more abundantly. So that means all of this lack, all of this not enough, all of this hurt, all of this pain, all of this stuff, it has to go. You literally have to open your mouth and say it has to go. It can't stay there no more. That same stuff that used to have you feeling like death, it gotta go. Why? Because you are alive again. Because why? Because God wants you to have life in it more abundantly. I'm just saying. Process from life to death, back to life, and not only just life, but life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. So listen, I know I'm not supposed to be on loan. I just needed you to understand that process. I need you to understand that there's a turnaround. But when you turn around out of this, it's not just life as usual. Now it's life more abundantly. It's life more abundantly. When God speaks a thing and it comes alive, that same thing that you thought was dead, your marriage was dead, your friendship was dead, your life was dead, your health was dead, your finances dead. Now God said, let's just believe. Believe that what my word says, that it will come alive. Believe and have some faith in what God said, what he would do, he would do. Believe and have faith in what the word says, because if you apply the word to what your situation is, you gotta believe and have faith that it'll come alive. You gotta believe and have faith that what God says it will do, he will do. You better catch that. Let's go. Life more abundantly. Let's turn around. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying when you hurt? What are you saying when you mad? What are you saying when you feeling sad? What are you saying? Does it line up with what God's word says? Does it line up with what God promised you? Does it line up? Because if you're saying something wrong, that means you're speaking death. Because if it ain't lining up, that means it gotta even speak life or death. Let me tell you something. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Bam. Life or death is in the power of your tongue. Come on now. What are you saying? No longer are you just going to speak death? Come on. I thank God my wife spoke life into me. I love life now. I love life and I love life more abundantly. He ain't just bring me back. He brought me back better. He brought me back to a place where now I can stand on my own and I can sleep. I'm telling you, I was in a dead place, but now I'm not. So you sit here thinking that because my husband is with the other woman, man, who cares about that? Nobody don't care nothing about that. God don't care nothing about that, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. He specializes in that. So don't go back. Don't keep telling God that he's with the other woman. Oh, he's not doing. He doesn't love me. Oh, he doesn't care. Oh, he's treating me this way. He doesn't respond to my call. God knows that. Stop telling him about that. Make sure that you can believe that God is. That's why he's. Listen. Oh, my God. This is why he's doing this. We haven't passed the test. When you don't pass the test, you keep doing it. It keeps going over and over and over. And God's like, when is your belief and your faith going to mix with my word? Yes, I'm putting this situation in front of you. Yes, I'm putting it in front of you. But are you going to believe in this? I mean, this look dead. It looks like, man, this man is about to do this, this, this. I don't care if the person married the other person. If God told you that he's going to be with you, and you know what? 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 You don't believe that God can do it? Not that it looks like that. You know why? Because somebody over there telling you, girl, you so stupid. Boy, you dumb. You over here crying about he done married somebody else, and you talking about he's supposed to be you. But what did God say? What did God say? Because let me tell you something. Lazarus was wrapped dead in the tomb. He was laid dead for some days. And Jesus came on the scene and asked Mary and Martha, do you believe? Do you believe? And they said, yes, I believe. Nah, man, they wasn't going to question God because they said, I believe. They believe. Well, they wasn't going to question Jesus because they believe. They knew that Jesus had resurrection power. They've seen him do the miracle signs and wonders. They watched him do it. Where's your belief? Where's your faith in what God said he would do? Because God was going to do something. But let me tell you something. God does things. He does things where he going to get all the glory. Man, listen here. This marriage here is all by God. Everything we do, we give it over to God. Everything that we do, our job, our life, our marriage, our intimacy, our friendship, everything, it's God. It's all God. God did this. Gerald and Yvette was just Yvette believed. And then Gerald came out of the grave, and now I believe, and now I'm married. We believe that everything that God has said we were supposed to do, that we believe that he gonna do. And he's doing it abundantly. He ain't just doing it. He's doing it abundantly. He's saying no more. I mean, I remember, man, we couldn't even, man, my wife was making a whole lot of money and we were still broke. How in the world you make a whole lot of money? We were making more money than a whole lot of people and we were broke. Like broke, like living from paycheck to paycheck. How you live paycheck to paycheck? How you don't have no money in the bank account? How you don't have no savings account? How you don't have any of that stuff? And you now we don't even have that job. We do what we do for the ministry, and God does things abundantly, abundantly, abundantly. It's like living in a life of abundance. I'm like, wow, God, serious right now? This is how you do this? Yes, because now you believe. Yes, your faith. And we had, listen, this move here was about that. This was about, let me take your belief and your faith to another level. When we moved here to Georgia, we had to take our faith to another level. Our faith went to another level, literally had to go to another level. Why? Because he wanted us to get to a place of abundance. He wanted to get us to a place where he gets the glory. And that's how we live our life. And so now I'm sitting here being able to tell you what God did. I went from life to death and back to life, and it more abundantly. Our love, our friendship, our marriage, everything was live, and then it died. I mean, it was dead for a long time. Lazarus did a couple of days in there. My marriage was dead for some years, like some years, like some long years, long, hard years, because there's things that God was trying to teach us. God was trying to show us where your faith is, where your belief was. And, you know, and the process of what Yvette had to do was kind of different than the process that I had to do, because God had to show her some things that when I come back, she would be mentally, physically, and spiritually able to help me to get to where I needed to be. Because what he did was, he introduced her to what a helpmeet suitable was. Oh my God. Let me tell you something. In the process of becoming from life to death, in that place of death, she was learning some things, how that when to bring things back to life. But she had to be suitable to be able to help me understand and see what it was I had to do, because she knew what God said, but she didn't see what God was saying. But she had to believe and have faith and do what God said do to be able to say, Gerald, come out the grave. Gerald, come up out of here. Gerald, come out of those addictions. Gerald, come into who God says you are. And the process of that, of coming from life to death, back to life, and not just life, back to life, but it more abundantly. God has an abundant life for you. He has an abundant life, not just coming back to life. So if you're looking at a dead situation, your situation has been dead. It's been dead for a minute. Now you got it. Now God is asking you about your belief. He's asking you about, it's testing your faith. It's testing your belief. It's testing it. It's testing it. Because when I'm just saying, as humans, when we get into a place, where it just looks bleak, and that's when the enemy start bringing people. He start bringing people to add to it, because they'll tell you you're crazy. They'll tell you, you know, they'll tell you all of these things. But let me tell you something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that means that you might not even see this thing for a minute. But you believe and you got faith in what God said he would do, he would do. If it's dead and it's been dead for a very long time, our stuff was dead for a very long time. And Yvette was just consistent with it. She was consistent in listening to what the Holy Spirit was saying. She was consistent in being a intercessor. She was interceding. You understand what I'm saying? She was interceding for me. Man, y'all got to catch this one. Will you intercede? Will you stand in the gap even though you don't see anything? Even though it says, listen, the Bible tells you to pray for one another. The Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. The enemy gets you to not even want to pray for them no more. And when you do pray, you praying soulish prayers because you just praying something that you want, but you ain't praying what God wants. What about that part? What about that place? Praying about what God wants. That's what Yvette got to. She was like, man, I only pray what you want. Because I mean, this boy acting like a donkey. He's acting a straight fool. But God, you said that this your son. You said that you're going to do something with him. These are the things that you told me to pray. So I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to intercede for him. And I'm going to, because he just treated me wrong. And she just started praying. Steady praying, year after year after year after year after year after year. You hear I'm talking about years? I ain't talking about a day. I ain't talking about a month. I ain't talking about a minute. I'm talking about years. Years of just plowing, just interceding and breaking down these demonic walls, breaking down these demonic barriers that have raised up. And that I mean, that's the cave. You hear what I'm saying? That's the tomb. I'm just sitting there. She breaking down these walls, breaking down the stone that had to roll over the grave. Cause I was dead. But she was like, no, God said you're going to come alive. God said that you're going to do this. God said that you're going to be this man. God said that you are this and that and this and that. And then she started praying that thing. And so it was like a hammer beating on this wall. Bam, bam, on this tomb thing, the rock that's covering the tomb. It's just banging on her, beating on it. I mean, praying hard. Well, she needed more strength. She needed more strength. And she was plowing into God. Give me more strength. Let me sling this hammer a little bit more. Let me swing it a little harder. Let me hit it a little harder. And as he start chipping away. And all of a sudden now the brick starts breaking. I'm trying to give you a visual of you praying, of you coming back, in the mindset of how things are happening. So as you can see your prayers, and you're not quitting, and you asking God for the strength to sling that hammer one more time, to beat down this wall one more time. I'm gonna get my man. I'm gonna get my PPK out of there. I'm gonna get my husband out of there. Oh, I'm gonna get my family out of here. Oh, this coming out. I'm not gonna allow my family to be in no cave. I'm not gonna allow my man to be in no cave. I ain't gonna allow my priest, prophet, king to be in a cave. I ain't gonna allow my family or my husband to be in a cave. But I'm gonna sling it. I'm gonna hit this hammer, bam! And all of a sudden, now you hitting that boulder, and you crushing it. Everybody looking at you like, ooh, that she ain't gonna never get that. And all of a sudden, you hitting it harder. And all of a sudden, now you seeing chips fall out, and the people behind you, they're looking. They ain't trying to help you. What they really trying to do is call you crazy. What they really trying to do is say, why are you doing that? What they really trying to say is you can't bring him back to life, but you ain't giving up. You gonna bring him back. You swinging that hammer, and all of a sudden it's cracking. And now you see cracks in it. And all you see, now you see big chips falling off of it. Now the chips have fallen, and now they see a little hole in there. Now you got more courage. God, give me some more strength. I can see in there. I can see him laying down. I'm hitting it harder, God. I'm hitting it harder. Give me the strength to hit it harder. Now she's swinging it harder. Have you ever been in a place where God gives you supernatural strength to do something that you knew it was impossible for you to do? That's this place. That's this place. Now you seeing this boulder. You seeing this huge thing that was sitting in front of this cave have been crushed. I mean, the people looking at you behind you like, oh my God, she actually did it. She actually did it. She's been out here all day. She's been out here all night. She's actually doing it. Now, listen what I tell you. Now they're going to tell everybody else. They're going, look, hey, well, let me say, oh, Lisa's out here. She done beat this wall down. This wall has come down. Oh my God, she is. I mean, she was out here beating it with this hammer. And all of a sudden, I thought she was going to get tired, but she was steady swinging. She swung from the right side. She swung from the left side. She swung straight ahead. She was just swinging. And all of a sudden, we see this big hole that she can see into this tomb. And now her faith has grown to a whole nother level. And now she knows that if I swing a little bit more, this whole boulder going to shatter. This whole boulder going to come down. Let me tell you something. God gets the glory because you actually did something that was supernaturally done. And you couldn't actually do this in your own natural. And so being in operating in a supernatural place, who gets the glory? Because what God said can you can do that you was able to do. And the people behind you that now they can actually see the hole. They can actually see the person that's in there. Now they can actually see. But now here you go. Once again, doubt tries to come in. This is what happens. You beating this thing down. Now you can see. But now they like, man, she done beat that obstacle. She knocked that obstacle down. Listen, knocked the obstacle down. This big old boulder that covered this tomb has been crushed. Now it's on the ground. It's under her feet. She can step on these boulders. You better tell me. Listen to me. That thing is like an enemy. It tries to keep you away. It tries to keep you dead, but you done crushed it. He's giving you the strength to brush this boulder, and now it's crushed. Now it's under your feet. Now you can actually see something. Because you have actually done something in the supernatural, your belief and your faith is so strong that now you can say, I'm going to speak to this body, and this body is going to come up. This body is going to come alive. I'm telling you, it's going to come alive. Jesus said, roll the tomb back. Lazarus, come out. I believe. Because now God says, you are able to do what I do. You're able to do, see, you saw what I did, you're able to do it. He told the disciples that. So if the disciples can do it, you can do it. If they can raise the dead, you can raise the dead. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is have belief and faith that what the word says, that he gave you the strength to do it, because he gave you supernatural strength to knock this boulder down. Now this boulder is under your feet. Now you're looking at the situation that was once dead. The people behind you know the situation is dead. They was talking about the situation, but they knew the task that you had in hand, and they saw that you was persistent in doing it. They knew that you wasn't going to quit. They knew that you had a fire inside of you that just wouldn't fall. They knew that you had some strength that it wasn't your natural strength, because your natural strength would have told you to stop banging on a wall that wasn't going to go anywhere. But then as you put it under your feet, now you're looking at your situation. Now, once your belief and your faith have gotten to that level of removing that boulder to now you can see a dead thing, now you're using your words to what? Speak to a dead thing. Speak to a dead thing. Yes, my wife had to beat that boulder. Yes, she had to beat that wall. She had to beat it. 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 But then when she starts seeing this thing, now she can walk this thing. Now she can speak to this thing. Now she got a list of who he is. Call that thing forth. Call that man forth. Call that thing forth. Call that apostle. Call that prophet. Call that man of God. Call it forth. Call it forth. Call it forth. Call it forth. And she started calling it forth because she's applying her faith with her belief with her faith with the word of God. And all of a sudden, now I come forth. I come out of a dark place. I come out of the bondage being wrapped up for a very long time. Now I can come out. Yes, I'm wobbling. Yes, I'm wobbling. That's when I came home. I'm wobbling. I'm coming home wobbling. But now God has given her the strength to take the stuff off. Now take it off. But as you taking it off, now I need you to keep calling his name. I need you to keep calling Lazarus. He was saying, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, Lazarus. Okay, Gerald, come forth. I want the one that God called, the one that God ordained, God appointed, God chosen one. I'm calling him forth. And all of a sudden now the bondage is coming loose. The things are coming off of my feet. The things are coming off of my legs and my hips and my chest and my head and my mouth. And all of a sudden now I'm standing there free. Ooh-wee. But God not only sets me free, but God gives me the ability to know who I am. Now I don't no longer have bandages over my eyes that I can't see. I can actually see who God has called for me to be. And now as I can see, I can understand what the word says, because he gave me an example of mixing belief and faith and what can happen when you do it. And see, the devil didn't want me to mix my belief and my faith, because my belief and my faith in God and what God can do. I was always a child that believed in supernatural. I was always a child that believed in raising the dead. I believe that I have the ability in me to raise the dead. And the enemy didn't want me to know that I was have the ability to raise the dead. But then I just gave you a picture of the dead being raised. God ain't give me that. He ain't give me that story for nothing. But what he did was he awakened the miracle inside of me that raises the dead, the ability, the strength, and the anointing to raise the dead. So I'm speaking now to every dead marriage. I'm speaking right now to every dead thing, every dead friendship, every dead belief, every dead faith, every dead finances. Now, everything that was dead, I decree and declare that it comes alive now in the name of Jesus. Y'all got to get that. Come on, y'all. Ooh, y'all better get that. This ain't no joke. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. This is that fire. I'm trying to tell you, God is actually trying. He is bringing back. He is bringing dead things alive. Now, listen to me, please, 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 mix your faith, mix your belief with your faith, with your words. See, your all of that stuff has to line up with God. You can't be in your feelings, can't be in your emotions, because if so, you'll find yourself looking at dead things, because the enemy is really going to try to mess with your mind. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about as we speak. I'm trying to tell you, the enemy is going to try to steal this. He's going to try to steal this word. He's going to make you feel like you can't speak to dead things. Let me tell you, I speak supernatural strength over you. I speak supernatural strength over you. God place your super on a natural all day, every day. Get him that hammer. That hammer is that word. Start speaking that word. That word gonna knock down those walls. Those words that you were supposed to speak. You talking about, oh, my husband is this. My husband is a drug addict. My husband won't get off of this. He's hooked on this. He's with the other. Let me tell you something. What did God say? My wife says that all the time. What did God say? If God told you he is this and he's going to be this, then I promise you that's what he's going to be. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. If God told you this, then that's what, I don't care if he married to somebody else. God don't care nothing about that. Man, that right there just makes him get all the glory. That right there makes him, make you look at him and like, I know this wasn't me. That had to be God. You done made the man get a divorce. You done made the man realize that who he was supposed to be with, he's supposed to be with. He's go to the courthouse. He signs some papers, get a divorce quickly and say, God, lead me back to where I need to be. And the man comes back home. Like, can I come back home? Can I come back home? But you sitting over there, you've been sitting over there going in. God, I know you said it. God, I don't care if I don't see it right now, but God, I know you able. I know you're able to bring him forth. I know you're able. God, I speak life over him. I speak that his mind makes right decisions. I pray, Father God, for his health. I pray, man, listen, it ain't, he need to hurry up or leave. No, man, now you're praying soulish prayers. You need to be praying what God says. Whatever God says, that's what you pray. Whatever God puts into your heart, that's what you pray. Listen. This is we talking about life, death, and back to life. Look at your situation. If your situation looks like that, then God has a plan. Listen, God has a plan. Sign up and line up with God's plan and watch God get the glory. I always say it. I'm not you something that somebody had to tell me. I'm telling you something that I'm living. I'm that thing. I'm that person that was once was alive. Yeah. And I was really dying, like death. I was walking in death's door. I had two more steps. I don't even know if I had two more steps. God told me I had a choice. Make a choice, Gerald. You want to live or die? Yeah. Make a choice, Gerald. Live or die. Live or die. So I chose life. I chose life. But let me tell you something. I was still sitting in that doggone cave. But I thank my wife. Listen, let me tell you something. I thank my wife for knocking down that wall. I thank my wife for getting that supernatural strength and beating me out of that tomb. Because I'm telling you, that boulder was big. It took her a good little time. Yeah, it was some that might have told, you know, might have laughing, and some that was probably praying and giving us some encouragement. But you know, let me tell you something. That didn't even matter. All she knew is what God said, dude. I just need you to fight for your son. I need you to fight for my son. I need you to fight. That means she had to have some strength to beat that wall down, to beat down that doggone boulder. She had to do it. Let me tell you something. And as she was beating it, she just, I can see her now, just seeing the devil face. And she just slinging that hammer. Bam. Just slinging that hammer. Bam. Every time she hit it, every time she see her face, the devil face, she just hitting it harder. Bam. Just made her hit it harder. And God was giving her some strength that she didn't even know she had. She didn't even know she had this thing. And she just beating it and beating it and beating it and beating it. And all of a sudden, that thing is under her feet. It's under her feet. Now she can see her baby. She can see her man. She can see her PPK. She can see that priest, prophet, and king. She can see him, but he's still bound. He's still covered up. He still can't see. And now she going to speaking to him. She's starting to speak that thing. And all of a sudden, that stuff start unraveling. It start unraveling. And before you know it, the enemy sure didn't want her to beat that wall. Because he didn't want me to come alive. He didn't want me to see what I needed to do. He didn't want me to see my true identity. But as I walk out of that cave and I say, PPKs that are sitting in the cave dead, come alive. Come up and come out now in the name of Jesus. You are alive. No longer are you operating in a dead spirit. No longer are you operating in your dead mindset, but you are alive now, that your thinking is holy, that your mind, your senses, everything about you is holy. Now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. You are alive now. You are alive now. I sever everything that is called ungodly, everything that is so, every soul tie, everything that connects you to anything that is not God's plan. I command it to fall off now. Unravel and unloose him now in the name of Jesus. Everything that is wrapped around his eyes that caused him not to see, I say that his identity is being revealed now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that his ears can hear the call, Father God, of his spouse now in the name of Jesus. He hears your voice, Father, now in the name of Jesus, and a stranger's voice he will no longer follow in the name of Jesus. Father, you unraveling his feet now that he's able to stand, Father God. He's steadfast and unmovable now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're unlocking his hands, Father God, that he will raise his hands up as he surrenders to you. Father, I thank you, Father, that he is now it's for you, Father God, that he is a living sacrifice. Father, as you have spoken unto him, that you have brought him back alive, Father God, that he's now operating as a living sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Now in the name of Jesus, Father, every demonic plot, plan, and ploy, every spirit of death and destruction is now being released off of them now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, everything that was dead is alive. I say that their finances are alive. Father God, no longer are they operating in a spirit of lack and not enough. But Father, I thank you now that they're having a more than enough. Father God, they're operating in a spirit of an overflow, abundance now. In the name of Jesus, Father. Oh, I thank you that they know that it is you that give them the spirit of get wealth, Father God. I thank you for a wealthy mentality now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, that No longer, Father, will they live below standards, Father God. Oh, I thank you that the standards are rising now. In the name of Jesus, the standards of living are rising now. The way that they live, the way that they think, the way that they feel, their belief and their faith, Father God, is mixed with the word of God. Yes, Lord. Father, we renounce every negative word that we have said out of our own mouth. Anything that has spoke death out of our own mouth, Father God, off of our own tongue, we renounce it now in the name of Jesus. If we spoke it over our spouse now, we renounce it now in the name of Jesus. Father, we will only speak who you have called them to be. We will only speak edifying and building up words now in the name of Jesus, Father. Oh, I thank you that our words take on the characteristics of the projectile and hits the bullseye. Father, I thank you that we're sharpshooters in the spirit realm. Now in the name of Jesus, you're raising up warriors, Father God. You're raising up intercessors, Father God, will not leave their post. Father God, you're bringing forth the watchmen, Father God, that are watching over your people, that are watching over the family. We thank you that their eyes, Father God, are operating in a 2020 spirit realm. Father God, they see now. They see the tactics and the traps and the snares of the enemy. Now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the words. The words, Father God, are bold. The words, Father God, are powerful. The words, Father God, are accurate now. I thank you for the prophetic advantage, Father God, that they not only can say it, Father God, but as they see it, they say it. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Father, you get the glory and the honor for the raising of the dead. You get the glory and the honor, Father God, for bringing a dead marriage back to life, for bringing finances back to life, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that your kingdom is filled, Father God, with your righteousness. We thank you, Father God, for the prayers of the righteous availeth much, Father God. We thank you right now that we're praying for one another. We're praying for one another's marriage, Father God, and we renounce, Father God, the times that we've laughed at someone, Father God, for what you have asked them to do. Father, we ask for forgiveness now. In the name of Jesus, Father, forgive me for laughing at my wife. Forgive me, Father God, for my ignorance. Forgive me, Father God, for all the times that I didn't think that I would be able to come alive, Father God. I thank you right now for the diligence. I thank you, Father God, for the commitment, Father God, for the ones that are plowing now, that are standing now, that are calling on your name day and night. They're meditating on it, Father. I thank you that you're able to just restore. I thank you, Father God, that you are a God of resurrection, Father, that you're resurrecting everything that was once dead. Father, I thank you that you're doing such a wonderful thing, Father God, in this earth realm now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for breathing life upon dead bones. I say dry bones. Oh, shoot, dead bones, dry bones, come alive. I thank you, Father God, for the joints coming together, the muscles coming together, the tendons coming together, the skin coming together, the heart, the liver, the lungs, everything that operates in the body, the function to make the body function properly, Father God. I speak that it's coming alive. Everything that needs a marriage, Father God, to be alive. I thank you, Father God, that you're restoring it. You're bringing it back now. I thank you for bringing back the friendship, bringing back the intimacy, bringing back the love, bringing back the communication, bringing back the friendship, bringing back every aspect of the marriage, Father God, bringing it back to the original purpose and the plan that you had, Father God, from the beginning. Now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. Oh, I thank you, Father God. Oh, glory be to God. I thank you, Father God, for the abundant life. I thank you, Father God, that everybody operates in abundance now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, abundance. I speak abundance over you. I speak abundance over you. I speak abundance opening up now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, let the heavens open up and abundance flow out upon them now. In the name of Jesus, because they diligently seek you. They diligently, Father God, fall upon their face, Father God, and they ask for you, Father God. They want your instructions. They want, Father God, the plans that you have for them, Father God. Let them see the scroll, Father God, that the plans that you have for them, that you have for them before they was even born, that the plans that you have for them, that while they was in their mother's womb. Now in the name of Jesus, oh, I thank you, Father, for a new fire that is being lit inside of them, Father God, that now they will go further, Father God, in who you have called for them to be, that they will go further in their praying. They'll go further, Father God, in their fasting. They will go further, Father God, in their studying now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I say abundant life. Let's live abundant life. Abundant life. God wants you to live in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance, in abundance. God is not lacking. God is never a God. I know my God is not a God of lack. Not true. It's not biblical to live in poverty. I'm sorry. It's not. And I'm talking about poverty mindset. That means you don't think that you should have it. You don't think that you should, your marriage could be this way. The enemy always try to hit you with a place of lack. You lack faith. You lack belief. Come on now. That's not going to be our story. It's not going to be the story. So I just wanted to come on. And I wanted to pray with you guys. I wanted to give you that insight. I pray that story that I just gave you, that I showed you, you know, a visual of you hitting this tomb, breaking down this wall, and it being under your feet, and then you seeing your spouse, you seeing your finances, you seeing the thing that is dead, the thing that has been bound up, and then all of a sudden you start speaking that it's coming alive. You start speaking that it's coming forth now in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, the people around you, hiya now, Michael C. Let me tell you something. God is always in the business of showing himself mighty, because he gets the glory when you see something that is impossible being done. When you start seeing the people behind you or the people around you start looking at your situation and they think that your situation is bad, and they start speaking your situation is bad, and they start saying that you crazy for doing what you doing, why you doing this, why are you in this place, and all of a sudden you start seeing the manifestations of the things that you have been talking about, the things that you have been saying. Do you know that you've become a major witness for the kingdom of God? Do you know you changed the mindsets of people, the naysayers? Do you understand that? Because I didn't understand that. Because where I am now, when the people thought that I was crazy and I couldn't get where I needed to be and I wouldn't be who I needed to be, and I'm standing before you now, listen to you, man, I'm that dead thing. I was that dead thing, and now I'm alive. And let me tell you, man, I'm living life more abundantly. I'm living life more abundantly. I'm not in a place of struggle. I know it's a fight every day. I know it's a fight. I'm up for it. Giving you the visual of my wife hitting that stone and trying to get me out of there. That right there alone gives me the strength to wake up every day, and I got my hammer in my hand. I got my hammer. Everything that the enemy try to steal, everything that the enemy try to bring, I got a hammer, and I'm knocking him out the box. Whatever he throws, I'm knocking it down. I'm crushing it. I'm making it under my feet. I know every day that I gotta have a hammer in my hand. Every day I better have a weapon in my hand, because I gotta go to work. I gotta go to work. Every day I wake up, I know the enemy hates me. I know that the enemy doesn't like me. So I ain't dumb. I ain't naive that I'm gonna wake up and no. Do I have to have spiritual warfare every day? No, I don't. But you know what? No, I'm prepared. I'm prepared in season and out of season. I ain't dumb. I used to be dumb. I used to be just blind as I don't know what. And I was sitting in a cave. I was dead. That put me in that cave and put me dead because I was blind. I just couldn't see. I can see now. Oh, I can see now. Oh, I got strength now. Oh, I got authority now. Oh, I got power now. And the enemy is in trouble, because now it's how can two walk together unless they agree? Me and my wife was agreeing. And my God, the enemy is paying for it every single day. Every day that we get to speak into someone's life, every day we get to counsel, every day that we get to see the army grows. I mean, we're talking about women that are ready to destroy the enemy. I mean, they got a fire inside of them that the enemy tried to kill. The enemy tried to destroy them. But oh my God, they didn't understand that once I got with Yvette Benton, she was swinging a hammer. She gonna break all religion. She gonna break that old stuff. And as you can see yourself coming out, and she's speaking life into you, and all of a sudden the teachings that she's teaching, the things that she is giving you, the impartations that she is giving you, it gives you supernatural strength to believe that and to have faith that what God said he would do, he would do. Who God said you were, you would be. Man, y'all better catch that. Yvette, thank you. Thank you. Not only did you do it for me, but you're doing it for others. You're doing it for others. I thank you for doing that. I thank you for the fire that is upon you. I thank you for the fire that is upon your words. I thank you for the strength that you have that sling that hammer. Because you not only brought me out of the cave, but you bringing others. You bringing others out of the cave. I'm telling you, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I speak a hedge of protection over you that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. I thank you for the anointing that is upon your life to deliver and to bring others into the place that you have gone to. You ain't even trying to be there by yourself. You're raising up others, man. You're raising up others. That's what apostolic is. That's what that is about. You are the apostle. I speak an apostle anointing upon the teacher of God that is bringing forth and raising up others that'll go forth and take territories. Man, these women ain't no joke. I look at y'all and I'm like, my God, they're the strength that is coming about these women, the revelation that is being released out of these women. I sit there and I listen to some other the major prophets. I hear what their words are saying, but I can tell you right now, these women that are operating in this group, some of them already said it. I'm like, and they didn't even know they was prophet. They didn't even know they can prophesy. They didn't even know. All they was doing is listening to God, and God tells them something. They didn't even know what they was doing. They didn't even know, but now they know. Now they know. Now they're listening. Now they're listening, and now they're listening to the word of God, and they're operating out of the word of God. Now their belief, hey, and their faith is mixed with God's word. Man, there's some dangerous women. They learning that spiritual warfare, that spiritual warfare arsenal training. SWAT, boots to the ground. I'm proud of y'all. I'm proud of y'all. Yvette, I'm proud of you. I'm just opening it up right now, because let me tell you something. From life to death, back to life, and not just back to life, but it more abundantly. Thank you, God. I thank you. Listen, I'm Gerald. I got to get off. I know God is. Whoo! I've been trying to get off for about 5 minutes, but God said, give him that. So I gave you that. So take that visual. Okay. Take the visual. When you see in a situation that's impossible, look at your situation and just look at it as that big old, boulder in front of the cave. And you got this hammer. I mean, every time you swing, your hammer gets bigger. you was chiseling with this little hammer. Then all of a sudden you start swinging it harder and your hammer got bigger. And then you had to use two hands to start slinging that hammer. And now you hitting it. And you might be a little petite thing like Lupe. You might be real small. And all of a sudden you swinging this big old hammer. And now this hammer is chiseling at this big old boulder. And these people looking at you behind like, how is she doing that? Man, that girl got some strength. That hammer's probably bigger than her. But all of a sudden, she got a hammer. And I mean, when she's hitting it like it's not even there. All of a sudden now the people around her, she become a witness to the people around her. Now they believing in the supernatural. Now they believing that what was once dead in their life can come alive too. Now they asking her questions. How did you swing that hammer? How did you beat the enemy in this way? How did you do this? How did you do that? Now you become a witness, because now God gets the glory, because you knew it wasn't in your own strength. You knew it wasn't in your own might. You knew it wasn't in none of the things that you could do, because if you did it in the natural, you wouldn't have never done it, because it has seemed impossible. Hallelujah. People always want to talk about what the impossible. Man, my God specializes in things that's impossible. He specializes in that. All he needs is a vessel that believes in that. If you believe in it and you have faith in it, then he can actually use you. Just be an empty vessel and let him pour into you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. So once again, thank y'all. I'm Gerald with Gerald and Yvette Ministries. You can go to our website, GeraldandYvette.com, or you can go to our YouTube channel, Gerald and Yvette Ministries. Get any information. Like I said, I gave you some examples of what SWAT is about. And let me tell you, if you struggling and you don't understand and you need some assistance and you need some help, I mean, I'm sure that there's other things around, but I'm gonna tell you something. I know what my wife has, and I ain't just saying it because it's my wife, because you can ask any one of these women that are in this SWAT that knows my wife understands the oil on her life, understands what she produce, what she pours out. And I'm telling you, the impartation of what she gives is valuable, because what it does, it changes your life. It changes your mindset. It changes everything about you. It's not a joke. She got webinars that's on there, 3 hours of teaching. Go to the website. I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen to me. If you sit here struggling and you like, I don't have this, I don't have that, man, go to that website and check out, go to the store and look at them webinars. I think they're like $20 or something, but you're getting 3 hours of teaching. Where you going to get that? Where are you going to go? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's teaching. Teaching that's going to change your life. I'm talking about change your life. Once you get done with it, you'll be like, oh my God. Can I get another one? Can I get another one? I'm just telling you, I understand how it works. I understand who she is. And she can do more than she, I mean, I'm like, God, 3 hours is a lot. My attention span don't even last 3 hours. But when she's teaching, these women sit on this thing and want more hours. Because she loves to teach. She loves to impart. She loves to pour out. And so I thank you, babe, for what you're doing. I thank you for how you're doing it. And so if you need help, go to the website. The information is out there. There you go. Thank you, Angel. GeraldineYvette.com, books, ebooks, counseling, webinars, seminars, all that stuff is there. So go to the website, check us out. And, you know, I pray that this turnarounds help y'all. Because I'm telling you, this revelation that God gave me this morning, man, on Lazarus, my God. So I'm thanking God for the abundant life. And I'm speaking abundant life over you guys too. So y'all have an abundant day. Let the day be so full of blessings, and let it be so full of joy. Let it be so full of happiness. Find your happiness. Find your joy in God, and let God orchestrate everything in your day. And you just have a blessed and wonderful day. Please. Y'all have a good day.